consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared your children to be gathered as into one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst and live in our faith, and we graciously receive our prayers and praise. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
They have made them lips and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. For you are my rock and my fortress. Into your hand I commit my spirit. Glory be to the Father and to the Son. As it was in the beginning, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The first lesson comes from the book of Revelation in chapter 7. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall neither hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. The epistle comes from 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself, and he is pure." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We rise for the hallelujah. "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." The Holy Gospel for this day, the celebration of All Saints, is recorded by the Gospel writer Matthew in chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of our Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, For All the Saints, 4677. The text is the epistle lesson you heard a moment ago. You may be seated. I want to thank you for the nice card I received from some of the members that had to signed that. They were forced into signing it, I know. But it was very nice, and I thank you for thinking about me, and I always enjoy receiving mail. That's not a bill. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Amen. After this, I looked and behold a great multitude no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Christ Jesus and dearly beloved, we're called today to see with eyes of faith the things that John, the writer of epistle today, sees. He writes the book of Revelation because it's been revealed to him the things that he needs to see and needs to tell us. Moses, almost the same way, standing on Mount Nebo, he looks out and gazes in one direction and he sees a huge army, a mighty army of Israel, and they're gathered for war. And this great tribe of fighters come from all the 12 tribes, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, equaling 144,000, which is Christ's church, the Almighty. That's what that means. 144,000. It belongs to the church, and they're symbolically portrayed in the mighty army, arrayed for battle, just as we sang in the hymn a minute ago. It is the church militant, and that's the church that we belong to today. And we battle not against flesh and blood, but against the whole army of the opposed. The rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers, present darkness, spiritual powers of weakness, of evil rather, in the heavenly places. Ephesians 6:12. And these people that you see in this picture is a righteous battle. It's a just war. They fought a good fight. Their fight was for what was true and what was noble and honorable and just and pure, commendable, and worthy of praise, Philippians 4. It's not just a battle against good and evil. It's a battle of love. It's the Lord's love for a broken world, the love of our Lord against a seemingly overwhelming army of perversion that's in our world today. But there is the sealing of the saints that takes place in the book of Revelation. Today we look beyond our church. Today we look actually into the future. We look at the glorious horizon that's there, and we see the glorious band of saints that are gathered there. Who are these clothed in white robes? They are the ones that came out of the great tribulation. You and I are in that great tribulation. They're innumerable people. They're men, women, and children, and they're all clothed with white robes. They are soldiers no longer, but they are victors. They won. They wave the palm branches in their hand. They sing their song. They fight no more because they rest from their labors. These godly souls have received their just rewards. They fought the good fight. They kept the faith. They persevered under pressure, and confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. And now they stream, as the hymn just said. They stream in from every corner of the globe. People from all kinds of languages, people of all kinds of voices. And they come, and they come in. And they enter now the heavenly gates, and they're following their captor who has led them to victory. Now they reign with those who sit on the throne. They take their place in the promised land where they see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Unfortunately, here we are, dear Christians. We can see what's there, but we are not yet there. John's vision sets before us a task that we as people of God, on the verge of entering the promised land, just as Moses was about to lead his people into the promised land. We desire all to walk on the golden streets. Our hope is in our future. It's all there. But it's not there today. We cannot have it today. Today we're soldiers. We're ready to fight. Doesn't sound like the peaceful church that we are, but we are fighting against perils that are all around us. And soldiers, we are trained, and that's what we came to church today for, to help get some more training to improve our wielding of the sword that we have to fight. We have the law and the gospel given to us where we can speak it and show out faults where they belong and then show out the gospel of Jesus. As soldiers, you and I are still fighting. We fight because we are engaged against sin and death, the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature. It's not an easy battle that we face every day. All of us face it. I face it too. In every battle of war, there's always injuries. There are people who are hurt, sins and wounds of the heart. All of us have been scarred one way or another. Some wounds are self-inflicted, some are accidental, and others have been given to us intentionally. Like Stephen, for example, intentionally put to death because of his faith. It's not an easy task, the war that we have. Our world thinks it's easy, and but at times we think it's so bad that we can't win it. We think the battle is beyond our ability, and yet, that we look and we see the enemies, and they got too many soldiers out there. They got too much money. They got too many resources. They're too powerful. And so it makes it easy for us to want to give up the battle and quit fighting. But looking around Christ Church, there's good reason to despair because we are a bunch of beggars, aren't we? Barely a group of people pulled together to be a holy army. A heavenly army, and yet that's exactly what our Lord has called us to be. His holy army, fighting in this world until we reach the world that's yet to come. Looking at ourselves, we don't see that we have the power to stand up against these enemies that are all around us. The world, the devil, and our own sinful flesh. And yet, beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ gives us the weapons to fight with. You cannot hope to isolate yourself from sin and death, the devil and the world, because it's all around us. We can't avoid it. Back years ago, I was contacted by a lady whose daughter I had confirmed back when she was 14 years old. It's a long time ago. They're in a fight with the young lady, the young daughter, because she was having behavior problems, guidance problems, other issues going on and on and on. I asked the question, has she been to church since her confirmation? Well, not really, Pastor. Occasionally she would go to church somewhere with some of her friends or whatever. Unfortunately, we travel out of town a lot of times to go to games and things like that, and so it makes it very difficult for us to be in church. But you see, that's where God equips the saints to fight, right here today. He equips us to fight against the terrible things that are in our society today. We see the end, though. It's in sight. The things of heaven are above, and yet we can see it because John has given us his eyes in order that we can see what's around us. And so we fix our eyes on Jesus, who is our master and commander, who calls his forces together like us. And we live now on the edge of tomorrow. Each and every one of us is a heartbeat away from tomorrow. Salvation yet belongs to our God. He sits on the throne and he is the Lamb. Once again we hear the cry out, make America great again, stronger together, all of those kind of things. And yet, whatever slogan we have right now, the battle is not going to be won on Tuesday. It must be continued to fight beyond that. The battle fought all week long and is won when we come together as saints on a Sunday morning. The fight that we have is not just political or global or national. Our fight is against sin, death, and the devil. It's a terrible fight that we're in. And that's why we had to confess before our service started. We said, "My poor, miserable sinners that we are." We recognize that we have no power of our own to fight against these terrible elements. We cannot free ourselves from our sinful conditions. And then it's necessary that the fight be fought with us by our Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm sure you sang last week, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Is that right? Did you sing it? Of course you sang it, because we're Reformation. And so we have a mighty one that comes out and bears the sword and shield for us. He fights for us. He is the one who wins our victory. God has made us this promise. He's seen us in our plight that we can't do it by ourselves. And so Jesus is our deliverer who has come to stand in the preface, in the in between heaven and earth. He is there to help us as we are the army. Now, Pharaoh, you remember that. Pharaoh had the army coming after the people of God, right? And they were trapped. The only thing ahead was the water. And they couldn't do anything about the water, and yet God told Moses, "You strike the water and it will separate," and it did. And the people of God walked through that big water, and they had no fear. They'd none drowned. None of them even got their shoes wet. That's how our God protected them. But when the enemy came behind them in their chariots and their firebrands, they were all drowned. Day in and day out, we stand at the edge of eternity. Each and every one of us do not know when our next day will come or whether it will not come. Moses spoke to the people and he said, "You only need to be quiet. You be quiet and the Lord will fight for you. Just be quiet." And so he stretched out his hand over the waters, and surely the waters opened up. Today we have that same water in the waters of holy baptism given to us sometime in our past, where we were brought to the waters of holy baptism maybe as a little child, maybe as an adult, brought to the waters of holy baptism, and there the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is put on us. We're no longer who we used to be. We're now a part of the army that God has called together to be His saints. And so the waters of holy baptism gives us the forgiveness of sins and covers us in the blood of Christ. And then later we come from baptism, we come to the Lord's Supper, where our God gives to us the very things that we need in order to battle with. He gives us His body and blood. In bread and wine, it looks like bread, looks like wine, tastes like it. But the reality is, it is wine, it is bread, but it is more than wine and more than bread. It is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that He gives to our saints here on earth so that we might fight the battle during the week. One day you and I will all be welcomed into Abraham's bosom, each and every one of you. I don't know when. I don't know when the Lord will call me home. I have no idea. But I know when He does, we'll be able to hear the victor's song firsthand, where we will sing with all of those who stand in the victory celebration with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the soldiers who had marched in the times past who now rest from their labors. The comfort that we can draw there is amazing. We do it all by faith, that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided for all of us a way to salvation. He has given to us everything we need, forgiveness of all of our sins. He paid for our price for our sins on the cross of Calvary. God the Father took our sins and put it on His Son. His Son died. And then all of the Son's righteousness has been placed on us. So that when God looks at us, He doesn't see us as unholy people, but He sees us as His people, purchased and won by the blood of Christ, clean, wearing white robes, with palm branches in our hand to celebrate. We look to Christ and the mighty works that He's done. Today, our Scripture calls us to action. We're called to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, confess the faith, even in places that are not willing to hear it. We set before the trophies that we have won here on earth. They're useless. Instead, we throw them away because there's another trophy going to be given to us, and that's the one Jesus gives to us at the last day. Now, he's not finished when he brings us to eternity to rest. He's not finished yet. Those saints we just saw coming through the resurrection, the saints that we just saw in the glory of the heavenly kingdom, have not yet been raised from the dead. And yet the last day will come when our Lord Jesus Christ will return. He already promised that he will. And when he returns with his chariots and angels, they will bring to you and me, all of us, raise us from the dead and bring us all into the kingdom where we'll all celebrate together the resurrected saints and also the saints that are already there in heaven waiting for us. Everyone born of God has overcome the world, and this is the victory that is overcome. It's our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, who has done this for us without any merit or worthiness on our part. I pray that you'll be blessed by that today as we celebrate all the saints. There are people that we have lost this year, some that we've named in a few minutes in our service, saints who have been called home, and there are saints in your own families the Lord Jesus has called home in times past. Perhaps your mother or father or sister or brother, or maybe all of them. And when we celebrate, we'll remember them. When we pray, that we'll recall their wonderful things that they have done in this life that has granted them peace in the life that's yet to be revealed to you and me. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace that is from above and the well-being of the church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For in this holy house and those who in faith, piety, and fear of God come to receive his gifts and praise his name, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Matthew, our synodical president. For Matthew, Michael, our district president. For those pastors who serve us here, and for all godly pastors and teachers, for all the people of God who serve God and the neighbors in their various vocations, for our synod and for our sister churches, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all missionaries and workers of mercy at home and abroad, and for the Christian schools, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our nation, and for all people, for our president, Congress, our governors, legislators, our judges, magistrates, and all who serve in public office, for our police officers, firefighters, and emergency workers, for our military personnel at home or abroad, and those who suffer from legalized abortion in our nation, for children, mothers, medical personnel, fathers, siblings, grandparents, for all who live in such evil days, let us pray to the Lord. For those who are sick and sorrowing, for those who mourn, for those in need of and distress, for all pregnant women, and for those who pray for a child, for homebound and infirm, especially for those whom our prayers are asked this day in our prayer list, for those whom death is drawing near, and for us all, that when our last hour shall come, we shall depart this life in confidence of a sure faith, the consolation of a right, devout, and holy hope, and in the communion of your holy church in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord henceforth. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Let us remember with thanksgiving those who have gone before us with the sign of faith, for they were redeemed by God, and he gave them new life through his Son in holy baptism. He nourished them in the company of his people at his holy table, and in his mercy and wisdom he summons them to his near presence, so that they may rest in blissful peace forever. Certainly we remember Pastor Rod Hooper. and also Jan Johnson. In joyful expectation of the resurrection to life, we remember to you, before you, all of our departed kin and friends who have gone before us in faith. We offer thanksgiving for the gift of faith and hold fast the certainty of your promises. We implore you, remember your church throughout the world. Make all of its members grow in love for you and for one another. As you have received our brothers and sisters who have gone before us to rest in the hope of the resurrection to life eternal, bring with us at last with them into the light of your presence, that in union with them and your saints we may give you glory forever through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our next hymn is 625. Please rise. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give Him thanks and pray. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, for the countless blessings You so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for Your boundless love shown to us when You sent Your Son, Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, and You laid on Him our sin, giving Him unto death, that we may not die eternally. And because He's now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in Him will overcome sin and death and rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and singing. Blessed are You, O Lord, our God, King of all creation. For You have had mercy on us and given Your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. By faith the saints of old held fast Your promise of things hoped for. For though not yet seen, living and leaving an example and encouragement for us who walk now by faith and not by sight. Grant that we may faithfully eat and drink His holy supper of Your Son's body and blood in the union of the mystical body, the Church, and be joined in unending praise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, Elijah, and all the faithful prophets, the blessed apostles and evangelists, the holy martyrs, and all the saints in glory who fought the good fight of faith before us. Hear us as we pray in His name and as He taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." In the same way also, He took the cup after supper. When He had given thanks, He gave it to His disciples and said, "Drink of this, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us of this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us to the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give to you always his peace. Amen. 8:21, you may be seated.